Hello out there. My name is Desi and I'm an alcoholic. Here's my story. I started drinking at the very young age of 11, technically the summer between 5th and 6th grade. That doesn't make me an alcoholic. It's what was to come of all that drinking, using, and not being able to get sober that really characterizes my membership in this fellowship. I found AA when I was 16. I also found NA, which was started as a result of AA, another very similar fellowship. And I was so fortunate to find 12-step recovery in the way that I did. And I'll talk a bit about that. So more background of me, I'm from Washington. I was born and raised in this area, spent most of my life here. And I was introduced to alcoholism through no fault of my own. As a very small child, my stepfather, who was then to adopt me, he was a raging alcoholic and would go into fits of alcoholic rage throughout the night. He would physically assault my family. I was too small to be assaulted, apparently, which is great. But I was familiar with alcoholism on so many levels before I got to AA. Witnessing what I saw and seeing my cousins and brothers slip into alcoholism, it wasn't necessarily something that I was very close to. I'm not sure that I really got into it through a circle of influence per se, but once I did try my first drink, my first use of other things, I was kind of off to the races. And so, you know, I went to lots of schools before I ever drank. My mom had cancer and we were escaping that domestic violence. But things really stabilized before I started drinking. And fortunately, unfortunately, I found alcohol, which led me to other things. And I sort of found a sense of ease and comfort looking back. At the time, I had no idea what alcoholism was, of course. Fresh to the gills, no clue that I was beginning a dance with the devil, so to speak, and that my life would become characterized by obsessive, addictive thinking and feeling, that my life would be catapulted downward into what seemed like an endless spiral. And it started out with just weekends. It started out kind of not coming home and making excuses, telling lies. It was almost like I jumped into late stage alcoholism from the get. And it was almost like a reverse process for this alcoholic because a couple years in, I figured maybe I should stop. Maybe I should try and get my act together. Except I wasn't able. That's when started showing up in my daily life. I would leave school to do it. I would sneak out at night to do it. You know, a couple years in, I wasn't really hiding it as much anymore. I was just kind of getting by. And I remember one night I had snuck out and my mom waited up for me. She wrote down every hour that she had waited up for me that I was gone. And that memory still sticks in my mind, although I can't remember most of those years because I was so obsessed and drinking and using so consistently in this alcoholic way that it was really what characterized those years. And another sort of wake-up call that I experienced that didn't really wake me up was going to a form of outpatient treatment. I had an assessment and got into what they lovingly called as the liars group. Quite fitting, looking back, I see the irony there. But yeah, I went and attended that and I found more people to drink and party with at that, group that I went to and completed. I wasn't really doing well as far as probation goes. My tests, my substance abuse tests were not coming back consistently. You know, at zero, they weren't coming back clean. And that waylaid me getting sort of out of the little court system that I was in for a small time. And that was my only real brush with the law, was in the middle to early stages of my active drinking career, if you want to call it that. Next up, I progressed. I moved. We had moved. There was some family stuff going on. And I think my mom noticed that I was getting out of control. And she had some issues of her own, different types of addiction issues. I qualify for multiple 12-step programs, not just substance related. Luckily, I guess. And yeah, so she was kind of on her journey, not being a drug user, not being an alcoholic. And I was getting out of control. And I remember my grandpa sat me down at the kitchen table, tried to help straighten me up. He said, if you live here, you're going to finish high school. And I tell you, I tried with everything to do just that, but I kept taking a drink. I would get some dry time. I would sort of sober up. I'd get my life kind of on a track. I'd think, I'm going to get back on track. I'm going to get this together. I'm going to turn this around. And I'd casually take a drink and wind up not in a casual position, but wind up in these dire straits near immediately. It didn't take long to find out that I'm kind of a pickle when it comes to being an alcoholic. They say we won't be cucumbers again. We might be really pretty relish, but you can't turn a pickle back into a cucumber. I crossed that invisible line to where it felt like I could turn my life over to God. I could change my friends. I could try with every fiber of my being, have the fear of God put into me. And there was no way to escape the fact that when I put a drink in me, it leads me back down this hole, because the obsession kicks right back in and my body is just sort of kaput. Basically, there's no battle to be won there. It's like the book talks about, we lose the will to fight and alcohol becomes the king and it becomes the master of shivering denizens. And there's all these things that are along with it, like fear, bewilderment, terror. And I know those feelings. And I often, honestly, with this much sobriety, forget what it's like, what those last few years of drinking were really like. And it was really like waking up in the morning, taking a drink, or waking up in the morning, making a phone call. How can I get out of here and go about this way of getting loaded in? I didn't really get a lot of consequences, I think, in the large scale of, you know, being an alcoholic. It was my test scores going down. It was constantly feeling like I'm in the wrong place at the wrong time. It was trying other things besides alcohol to give me that relief, that to get me in that loop again. And because, you know, being a teenage alcoholic, it's hard to score booze. But the friends that I made, they had dealers, they had connections. And it was through one of those people who had really cleaned up their act, but was still in those circles doing what they were doing, that actually led me to my first ever meeting. And I didn't know where we were going. I really, really found this fellowship by accident. And it wasn't the first meeting that kept me sober, but I found the fellowship at that meeting. I was welcomed. I was approached later by an 18-year-old woman who was pregnant, very pregnant, on her way to prison for some things that she had done. And she invited me to a movie that afternoon. And I'm kind of mixing the first two meetings I ever went to. It's kind of a silly story. I went to that one in the dark with that dealer person, didn't know where we were going. And then I moved from Lake Goodwin to Everett, and I was doing that white knuckle thing. And this is how I found my second ever meeting. I was doing that white knuckle thing, and I thought that morning, okay, if I'm not going to drink, what am I going to do? And I decided I'll go to the library. I'll wait to get enrolled in a different school. And I went to the library, and on the way up, I recognized this building that had the meeting in it. I walked inside, and that's where that 18-year-old pregnant chick had invited me out afterwards and introduced me to her sponsor and took me to the movies. Just that day was just like this moment that I can remember where I found this fellowship. And luckily for me, my brother had gotten sober. I didn't know he'd gotten sober, kind of real unbeknownst to me, but he stayed with us for a little while to be closer to a job he was working. And he was kind of pacing around the house one day with a notebook in his hand. And this is a few months after I had attended my first ever couple of meetings. And he had apparently gotten sober around that time, July or so, that summer that I'd attended my first meetings. And this was in the fall. And he's pacing the house and he has this notebook. And I'm like, what is that? And he said, here, read it. And I read the story about how he had woken up in his own urine because he was drunk. And it was like the story of his first step. And I handed it back to him and I told him, you're weird. And I were like about 6 years apart. And the next day, or it was something, it was the weekend, and he was getting ready to leave. And I said, hey, where are you going? He said, to play cards, you want to go? I said, yeah, let me get my coat. And he was gone. He seemed to have this real power of example thing going. So I grabbed my coat, chased him out the door, and up we went to a fellowship hall where they were playing cards. They had a snack bar open. Some people were doing pinochle, others reading in the corner, reading the paper, which was out on the table, someone using the landline phone, people smoking cigarettes. And he said, this is my sister, Desi. And I had gone by a lot of names at that point, but not really Desi. And he was smiling. And again, it was just this memory that just marks these points in my sobriety. Like seeing another person relieved of this disease. My brother and I had definitely drank together, even though we were pretty far apart in age. We had done some things together when we were teens, and I knew he was like me. And then we get to this hall and he's just smiling, playing games, chatting with all these folks. And it was time for the meeting. And someone had said, you go into the meeting. And I said, yeah, sure. I remember sitting on the stool and I hopped off and ran upstairs, and I see these big scrolls on the walls of the steps and the Serenity Prayer and some suggestions, the traditions, the concepts. And they started the meeting and I began to hear stories about what it's like to be an alcoholic. I started to hear my story for the first time. I heard that AA is this worldwide fellowship. It exists in Russia and in China. And I started to think, maybe it'll work for me. Maybe I could try this. And I was so fortunate that hall was open that afternoon. And I got to sit in on this little meeting because I felt hope. I kind of knew where I belonged. I kind of started showing up. And I say belonged because, like, I kept going back there and I felt like I should be there. That's where I felt like I should be. It gave me a place I should go. And not just the library and not just school. I should go to Alcoholics Anonymous. I should try and get a year sober. If I don't like what they have, my misery will be refunded. And the rest is history. I was able to stay sober after that. I wound up in the psych ward there for a while and got back out, went back to AA, went back to the fellowships in my town, got involved in service, played clean and sober softball, suited up and showed up for events. They said if I volunteered, I could get in free. I needed that. I didn't have a job yet. I needed to know that I was allowed to be there. And I saw people fighting to get their kids back, fighting to get their license, fighting to beat the court system if they were sober. And it gave me hope because I knew with the path I was on and the people I was around that if I didn't get sober, I was definitely going to end up that way, stuck in my alcoholism, possibly go insane or wind up in jail for hurting someone. That was very, very clear to me. And it still is to this day that I'm not going to make it back to cucumber status. I will maybe be a beautiful color of relish, minced up with the rest of you guys, but can't take a pickle and make it back into a cucumber. So I'm a satisfied customer of this free program, and I keep suiting up and showing up for drill. They say if I follow directions that I can do this, that they can help me. And if I can't follow simple directions, that this program might not work for me. So keep coming back. I hope that you find someone to help guide you along the way. And welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous.